It is said that death and taxes are inevitable, so are dark nights of the soul. Every human journey contains within it seasons of challenge, angst, despair. Every person knows what it's like to lie awake at night, disturbed by an unholy mix of reality, dreams, and worry. Sooner or later, everyone knows what it's like to have a loved one die, to find themselves with or without warning plunged into the valley of the shadow of death. One of the perennial draws of Buddhism is the Buddha's central, powerful affirmation that this is an inescapable fact of human existence. And any honest, objective view of the human predicament will also note that some people have more frequent, longer, and deeper dark nights of the soul than other people. Life, in so many ways, is a crapshoot. Where are you born? Do you have genes within you that make you susceptible to terrible diseases? Were there adults there to care for you and to meet your needs when you were a child? Can you afford basic things like food and clothing and shelter and health care? Is there something about you, who you are, that subjects you to relentless persecution and bigotry and maybe even violence? Unless, let's face it, by and large, there is no real correlation between one's actions and one's lot in life. Everybody knows somebody who's just been dealt a bad hand, sometimes year after year after year. Job's story from the Hebrew Bible still resonates because it does so powerfully ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And I would say that there are also difficult seasons for whole communities of people, nations, and even the world as a whole. It's true that our contemporary media magnifies and broadcasts the difficulties of the world today, where not so many years ago we would not have even known about a tragedy on the other side of the ocean. Now we see human suffering in the world palpably. Immediately. A typhoon smacks the Philippines, and we may even know someone who's affected by it, and certainly we can see the suffering up close and personal on television. Same with a flooded river in Transylvania. Terrorists shoot up a satirical cartoonist's office or a Jewish deli in Paris, and we learn about who the victims were, and we see their blood. But I would say, regardless of this impact of the media, it kind of feels like to a lot of us that our country and our world right now are in the midst of a difficult season. Terrorism, racism that's persistent, war, pandemic, disconnection, economic struggle, the list goes on. No doubt there have been worse times, far worse times, to go back no further than the World Wars and the Depression last century. But still, this moment feels particularly difficult. Many find hope, faith in the future, and perspective to be ever more elusive. So where can we turn for a sense of solace, for a sense of hope? The answer just might be closer than we think.
the thousand years have passed, days that have gone by, and the countless astonishing things that have happened, like the first star to turn on a light in the sky, or like the sun being born, or the earth being formed, or the first twitch of life, the depths of the sea, or the very first flower to brighten the world, or the very first he, the very first she. There was no one to see it or say, oh my God, no one to laugh or to weep, and now only one can uncover the story and search through the clues. It is you, human, you, human, you. The things made of atoms, the children of matter, the comets and quasars, the oceans and the stones, and the millions of creatures who have lived on this planet, who have walked through the ages and floated and flown. There was never among them a poser of questions, painter of sunsets, keeper of dreams, who could measure the days and the nights as they're passing, seek understanding, ask what life means. It's as if all of time were a song that's finally found ears, or as if the whole world for 4 billion years has been lying unconscious and is now coming to. In you, human, you, human, you. So in all of your hurries and your preoccupied worries about when your next meal or next paycheck will come, in your hopes and ambitions, your quest for possessions, your search for self-worth and for sex and for love, just remember that there is a deeper dimension, a wider communion of which you're part. There's a whole universe that's evolving, unfolding. You are its consciousness, you are its heart. Human, you are a mountain that now has just opened its eyes. You're the wandering earth, you're the wakening sky, you're a galaxy laughing, whistling a tune. That is you, human. Eyes. You're the wandering earth, you're the wakening sky, you're a galaxy laughing, whistling a tune. You, human, you, human, you.
Love that song. When I saw the lyrics, it was so moving and reassuring. Yes, we humans struggle with our hurries and our worries, and sometimes where our next meal or paycheck will come from. We struggle with hopes and ambitions and the quest for possessions and self-worth. We struggle with death and meaningless and despair. But there is a deeper dimension of which we are a part, a wider communion with all that is in the universe. Realizing this is part of the answer. Where do we turn for solace and for hope? To the depth of our human being, to the wider communion of fellow travelers. Pete's song gives a thoroughly humanist response to this question of how to reply to life's troubles, grounded not in supernaturalism, but in science, in naturalism. So when my life is rocky, I find it immensely helpful to step back and to locate myself in the moment in the immensity of time and space. Yes, time stretches behind me billions of years and billions of years into the future. You and I live on the planet Earth, located in a small solar system in an out-of-the-way corner of one of the billions of galaxies. This makes me feel very small, but also part of something so grand, so intricate, so beautiful, so timeless. I'm made up of the same stuff that the stars and the galaxies are made of. What an amazing concept. This realization helps me feel connected and grounded. It helps me feel a oneness. It helps me feel at peace. And then I move a step beyond this pure naturalism and science and observe that there is something mysterious deep within me that feels connected to the enormity of time and space in ways I cannot quite fathom. Yes, I am cells, I'm biological processes, but I am more than these two. I am soul. I am each one of us is a unique once and forever alchemy of body and soul. In the words of a song we will hear in a moment from Pete. So we live this life together, my giant soul and tiny me, one resembling forever, one like smoke upon the breeze, one the deep and abiding ocean, one a sudden flashing wave. And counting galaxies like snowflakes, I could swear we are the same. With the sense of my tiny, brief life and huge soul entwined with the enormity of time and space, I can achieve, at least for a moment, something precious indeed, a sense of perspective, equanimity, serenity.
Swirling in the cosmic storm, and each one is a galaxy, a billion stars or more, and each star is a million Earths, a giant fiery sun, high up in some sky, maybe shining on someone. Inside a snowflake, I am floating quietly. I am infinitesimal, impossible to see. Sitting in my tiny kitchen, in my tiny home, staring out my window at a universe snow. My soul is so much bigger than the very tiny me. It reaches out into the snowstorm like a net into the sea. out to all the lovely places where my body cannot go. Touch that beauty and embrace it in the bosom of my soul. And so brief and fleeting is this tiny life of mine, like a single quarter note in the march of time. But my soul is like the music, it goes back to ancient days, back before it wore a human face, long before it bore my name. Because my soul is so much older than the evanescent me, it can describe the dawn of time like a childhood memory. It is a spark that was begotten of the darkness long ago. What my body has forgotten, I remember in my soul. This life together, a giant soul and tiny me, one resembling forever, one like smoke upon the breeze, one the deep abiding ocean, one a sudden flashing wave, and counting galaxies like snowflakes, I would swear we were the same. My soul belongs to beauty, takes me up to lofty heights, teaches sacred stories to me, sanctifies my tiny life, lays a bridge across the ages, melts the boundaries of my bones, and paints a bold, eternal face on this passing moment. Oh, my soul.
One of the key spiritual tasks in life is making a home wherever it is that we find ourselves. Sometimes, obviously, this is a lot harder than other times. Back to that crapshoot. Someone trying to make a home in the world in a concentration camp or as a slave in a plantation, that's infinitely more difficult than me trying to make a home here in the Fox Valley as a white upper middle class man. But acknowledging this, the task nevertheless remains to make a home wherever we are, including for you and me, here. And so it was the need to make a home in the world that first drew me to the music of Pippin. It appealed to my adolescent need to figure out my place in the world, to answer that question, who am I, and the question, what do I believe, and what do I give my heart to? In the words of Pippin's most famous song, rivers belong where they can ramble, eagles belong where they can fly. I've got to be where my spirit can run free, gotta find my corner of the sky. So where is my corner of the sky? If I had never answered that question, I would have been forever unanchored and rootless. Through the ups and the downs and the trials of adolescence and young adulthood, I slowly grew into an answer to that question. I figured out how to build a home in the world, a place I could be myself, at least much of the time. And then achieving that, I came to another point of danger. Would I then universalize my corner? Would I understand that other people need to find different corners of the sky, different senses of home? Would the roots go so deep that I became stuck, rigid, narrow, parochial? And so my spiritual task then became stepping across the boundaries of my life, raising my eyes to the wild variety of the human family and the natural world. I needed to see all this diversity, but also the underlying connections connecting all in a single garment of destiny. In the words of a song we'll hear in a moment, my task was to lift up my arms to the stars, the fires of my birth, take a hold of a star and bring it burning inside me.
Bear with me, please, just for a moment here. A little tuning meditation for you. And laughter, dreams of ever after, all this is what you are tonight. When you dream, imagine sleeping in an ancient sea. Breathe out and in, begin to swim and turn your fins to feet and climb out upon the dry land. Run like an eland, fly like a lark, and drive your roots into the dark earth. When you dream, remember all this is what you are. You dream, step across the boundaries of your life till you are free to skip away like a ray of light over space and time. Stars, the star and bring it burning inside you, only to remind you all this is what you are. This is what you are.